I'm going to bring God's word. Come on it.
Thank you. Now, good morning. Praise God. Oh, the kids. Get out, kids. Amen. Amen. We don't get them out of the way. We put them in the way. Amen. Amen. Okay, good morning. Great pleasure to be here this morning. Praise God's word. I was over in Clondalkin last Sunday. I had a great time in Clondalkin. Anyone at the meeting in Clondalkin last Sunday? Okay, so double portion for you guys. No, it was a great meeting, and I felt that, God had put something on my heart that spoke to me, but also getting feedback from everybody, there was really something, breakthrough. We sang a song before the message, Breaking Every Chain. And I believe that's for us this morning. I believe that there's chains to be broken here this morning. There's no point in anybody, including me, to get up out of this pulpit and preach hopelessness. There's no point. This is the only place, this is the only space. Church is the only space where we can come as human beings with all our stuff, with all our problems, with all that's going on in life, and expect change. There's nowhere else in this city at this moment in time where you can go somewhere and you can be fundamentally changed from the inside out. I don't think there is anyway. If anyone knows any place like that, come and tell me about it. But I don't think there is. I remember, I shared a small bit of my testimony, then I'll get into the word, if that's okay. I remember back in 1995, show me age here now. Long ago was that, 20 odd years ago. I was only 12. No. But I remember coming from a place in my life where, to give you some background, my mother died when I was 5. And my father had done his best. The family was split up. Sister went away to live with Nanny and another family. And the family was kind of split up and devastated all at the same time. My father had done his best. He was a hard-working man, and he went out and he earned money. And his way of coping and his way of dealing with things and his way of raising kids was to make sure there's a dinner on the plate. That was his thing. And that's, in fairness to him, that's what he's done, and he's done it very well. But it wasn't enough for me, personally. And I can't speak for my sisters, but for me, personally, it wasn't enough. There was a deep inner need that I had, as all of us have, human beings. We have a need to be loved. Don't be ashamed to say that. As human beings, we have a need to be loved, a deep inner need to be loved and accepted. And when we look at things as a young boy, and as all of us, as young people, there's only two people that you look up to in the world. And I said this, there's a slight bit of controversy in Clondalkin, and people come up to me about it. And it's a bit of pop psychology here, but you need to bear with me. Because there is truth in this. The only people we look up to when we're young, the only people that have any relevance is our parents. And we take all our cues from them. And if you go down to, say, which I did, and you go down to next door or two doors down. I came from a single parent family. And you go down to three or four doors down and there's a unique family going on or two parents working, supposed to be functioning. There wasn't much functionality in my housing state. But anyway, it was different for me. And I would look to that dad, if you like, or I would look to that mom. And I would try and take cues from them, but I couldn't. Because they weren't my parents. They hadn't a longing in their hearts for me. The same way as he had for their own kids. Just wasn't there. Remember one time, next door neighbour, I fell and I banged my head. I got a real bang in the head. That's what happened to me. Got a real bang in the head. But I remember as a child, it was like in the day, my dad was, I had nowhere to run. You know, you looked and you know where to go. And I ran into my next door neighbour, into the next door neighbour, into their man. And she looked after me, but it wasn't the same. She tried to stop the bleeding and she gave me a little hug and all, but it wasn't the same. Because there was something missing. And no one else could fill that gap, if you like. Nobody else could fill that gap. And as I grew into a young man, that emptiness turns into anger. Or it turns into frustration. or it turns into major chip on the shoulder, or it turns into why haven't I got what they have, or it turns into blame game, and you come under this serious attack because of the lack. It's good, and I just want to write that down. Attack. Oh, that just came out of my mouth there. Attack because of the lack. Philip. Attack because of the lack. But anyway, this resentment started to build up in me where, you know, you couldn't listen to anybody. You couldn't take direction off anybody. School for me was a nightmare. An absolute nightmare because you wanted teachers to be your mother or you wanted teachers to be your father, and when they weren't then you hated them. And you were looking for something off them that you couldn't give and shouldn't be given. But because of this hungry young child going around trying to get something off people that couldn't give him, you ended up this fighter or this battler. And then you turn a certain age and certain things happen in certain areas and you start to get involved in certain things. And you try to take fulfillment out of those things, but you end up becoming even into a worse place. And you end up into a worse knot. And things go downhill very, very quickly into a point where at 25 years of age, I walked into a Christian church just like this, very similar to this up on Thomas Street, a hopeless person. A person with no hope. You take hope out of a human being and it's very, you can't go any lower. I couldn't see a way out. I could not see a way out. No matter how far I looked, I couldn't see how am I going to beat this addiction. How am I going to beat this thing? Where am I going to go with this? And I remember a fella come in and he says, I was invited to come into a rehab, and he had trying to get rehab going up on Thomas Street, David Wilkerson Rehab Teen Challenge. And I was doing that best. But the rehab wasn't great. But one thing that was great was, it was hope. Because I was talking to a fella and he's an ex-addict and he's talking to me, he says, I'm staying 10 years. What? Another fellow walks in and says, I'm staying 4 years. I have my life together. I'm getting married next week. You never hear anything like that from where I was coming from. It was just death and destruction. And I'm saying to myself, where did you get this from? Where is this coming from? What are you involved in? What did you do? How? And if we stop at the story there, and let's turn to scripture. The how. Let's turn to scripture. Matthew. If you can stick it up there, please. Matthew 22, I'm at 37. And in the context of the story, every time Jesus spoke, they questioned him. The authorities questioned him, trying to trip him up. Trying to discredit him. And trying to twist his words and trying to turn his words upside down. And they asked him what's the best commandment, because they knew if he said one commandment is the best, then they turn around and say, no, our commandments are the best. And they wanted to split him. They wanted to divide him. They wanted to get him to stick to one point so they can have another point and turn it against him. And he said, what's the best commandment? You know, in other words, he went genuinely asked him. They were trying to trip him up. And he said this. He said, the best commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. They want to stick it there. Love your neighbor. It's in Deuteronomy as well. It's love your neighbor as yourself. And that's my whole sermon today. It's loving your neighbor as yourself. Now there's two commandments in that. There actually is two commandments in that. You can't have one without the other. You can't be one without the other. You can't expect one without the other. And you certainly can't go around and achieve one without the other. So it says, love your neighbor, which is everybody inside you, as you love yourself. And what kind of love is he talking about? He always ask myself that. Is it a selfish love? Is it a look after me, make sure I'm okay love? Is it a love that is only concerned about me? No. Because if you look in the context of what Jesus spoke about, it was far from that. So what is the love he's talking about? What is the love that he means? Guys, this is very, very important. If you get this, I guarantee you, things will change rapidly in your life. If you have this, praise God. But if there's a lack in your life, there's something missing. But here's the answer. Here is the answer. If you stick with me, he says, love your neighbor as yourself. But how do we love ourselves? How do we love ourselves? Turn with me as well. I'm going to go to Corinthians. And it's in 1 Corinthians 13. And we're getting a description here. Paul is describing what love is. And what the love of the Father is. And what the love of God is. And he puts this out there. He tells everybody, this is what love is. Let me put it down on paper. Let me express it to you. Love is. And if we can stick that up there. If we can get that up there, please, because it's very important. It says, love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Now, that is the love we're talking about here this morning. I really don't care what anybody says. If you don't understand this, if this does not change you, well, then I don't know what can change you. Because we're instructed here. The love, loving your neighbor is the outward. And a lot of us are very good at that. Great big giveaway, outreaching, people you work with, helping people, doing all that. A lot of us are very, very good at that. And it's the outward. It's the loving your neighbor is the outward. And it's very easy to express that and people to get a perception of it. But the loving yourself, the in. Remember now, you can't have one without the other. The loving yourself, what Jesus talked about, is the in. So whatever I say to myself, whatever inner language I'm having to myself, is it patient? Are you being kind to yourself? You know what, when we finish here this morning, and we go out to the street, and we go off about our business, and a thought comes into your head, Jenny, that fella, he was amazing. Where did they get him from? That guy was amazing. I'm on fire here. My life is being changed. And then you hear the voice struck you easy. Are you allowing that? Because Jesus says, love yourself. Are you being patient with yourself? Are you keeping a record of wrongs? This stuff turns you on the head. Because any time we read these scriptures, and any time we heard these scriptures, it was always very at a distance. Oh, that's a beautiful scripture. Love is patient. Love is kind. Oh, it's a great aspiration. Isn't it a fantastic thing? We're all great utterance to say that about love. But there has to be an application here. It's not there for nothing. It has to be applicable. You have to be able to apply it to your life. There's no point in me coming to a pulpit and saying empty words if it doesn't mean anything. Are you keeping a record of wrongs in your life? In your inner life? Are you envious of yourself and what others have? Is that a conversation going on? Because if it is, you're not loving yourself. And what does Jesus say? Love your neighbor as? Are you being patient with yourself? Guys, don't get me wrong here. I'm not trying to put condemnation on you, because we all fail on these things every day. But it's hope. Because every time that you Egypt comes into my mind, I say, no, hold on. Ow. No way am I listening to this anymore. I'm not listening to this rubbish anymore. No, hold on. I'm not going to keep a record of that wrong. That wrong is gone. I don't keep records of wrongs. Because Jesus tells me to. That's what love is all about. I love myself. So I don't keep records of wrongs. I don't keep bringing it up. Bringing it in. Allowing it to fester. It's gone. How can I know it's gone? Because Jesus says it's gone. Because He loves me. All my sin is forgiven me. Past, present and future. As far as the east is from the west. He keeps no records of wrongs. Why should I? He's given me the authority to keep no records of wrongs. He's saying it's okay to keep no records of wrongs. Because it's about love. Love is. Let's swing it back to pop psychology. Because I can't just leave it there with our past. When we were growing up, and if anybody has a lack in that area, I worked in the rehab for 8 years or so, and I remember I used to do little fox pox in the classroom. You know what I mean? Just little straw polls, and I'd say you'd have an average class of 24 young men. You know, average young men. And over the 8 years, I used to say, now I'm not just saying that this is indicative of a certain group, it's not. But just as an example, bring a point home. I used to say, hands up everybody who has had a good relationship with their father. And on average over the 8 years, about two hands ago, of classes of 22, 23, 25, on average, about two hands ago. And then I might swing it around, hands up who has a good relationship with their mother. Three or four hands ago. And I used to think, my goodness, are they just doing that? Is there a problem here? And then we used to do a class and it was about love and accepting yourself. And I'm saying all this to get to this point because this is vital if you get this. This is vital if you get this. And I'm probably going to offend a lot of people here because it kind of lets a lot of people off the hook. But if you have a problem with it, come and see Louise later on. This will be gone down the stairs. The back stairs. There's a hatch here and I'm out. This is a controversial hatch. And I'm out. But, and this is true. This is true. This is breakthrough for me. This was life changing for me when in the context of this, because this stuff for me goes is years and years of healing in this. There's years and years and years of healing in this stuff for me. The grace of God is new every morning for me, and it's true what they say, and it's true if you want to get a handle on this. Two hands group with the father, three hands group with the mother. Let's dispel that myth. Nobody has a right to have good parents. Nobody has a right to have the perfect functional parents. You know why? Because we're all human. And we can't be the perfect functional parent. It's a myth. But yeah, here's these group of young men demanding it. And saying, why not? And what about me? And why didn't I? And they're envious in their mind, and their love reaction inside is all envy. No patience. Keeping records of wrongs all the time, wrongs done on them. Always wanting something. It's not there. There's always an emptiness. No patience, no nothing. Keeping everything. The whole love stuff is out the window, because they can't love themselves because of this lack. But the thing is, guys, there's no such thing as a perfect parent. It's a myth. We're all fallen humans. And when I got this stuff, guys, no, listen, I used to go into counselling, right? I used to go into counselling. And I was doing counselling for months and months and months. And the counsellor would say to me, when we got to the end of things, and we got to the nuts and bolts of things, the counsellor used to say to me, coming into the room, who are we blaming today, Eddie? Let's start off with the blame game. Who was it today? I was up to the GAA coach now at this stage. You know, he didn't pick me for a certain game. And it's all plausible excuses. Isn't that what they say in AA? Plausible excuses are flawed rationale. We rationalize everything because of. It says love is patient, love is kind, love is not boast, love is not proud, love is not rude, love is not self-seeking. And we're self-seeking all the time. What about me? Why didn't they? How come that? What about this? And it's always the excuse to go and do what you want to do in the flesh. But I'm telling you, the ones that are in the flesh are the ones that suffer. They're the ones that end up being the empty ones.
They're the ones that end up being the hanger and the fist up in the air. And I cannot grasp this message, this sermon. I cannot grasp this love is patient, love is kind. Well, can we let this go this morning? I tell you, this is massive. If we can let it go, we can look back in our past. I remember letting my poor dad go. I remember a breakthrough a long time ago. Just letting him go. Poor man, I held it against him for years. He's done his absolute best as a human being. Who am I to stand over him and judge him? Look at my life. Look at all the mistakes I made. Who am I to stand over in judgment over him? No one. And that's what Jesus says, and that's what Paul says, and that's what it says. Love your neighbor as yourself. You must love yourself regardless of all of that. Because that's all the human thing. Now let's bring in the hope. I'm going to finish this, but let's bring in the hope here. Who is our Father? He's the perfect. You know what? You trust in him. Whoa. I remember talking to a fella years ago when I was in the rehab. You know, I was acting a maggot. Playing, being an easy, selfish, envious, boastful, rude, impatient, keeping records of wrongs, young fella. Demanding off everybody. And I remember going in and this has been suffering. The man gave me a big hug. He says, "No, Eddie, despite all that, I love you. I actually do love you." And I'm like, "What? Say that again." He says, "I love you." Because everything that was put onto my life up to that point was real conditional. If you can, if you are, if you don't, if you do, if you boom, 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 boom. And here was a man just Jesus with bounds on. I love you because Jesus loves you. And Jesus loves me and I love me. And I'm allowed to love you. Even though, and I don't keep any records of wrongs in your life. And I'm not envious about you. And I'm not boastful. And I'm not proud. And I'm free to love. And he was free to love. And I said, I want that love that you have. So we can love others. Because you can't love your neighbor unless you love yourself. There's no point. You can't try. You can't do it. And so Jesus says here, he says, love your neighbor as yourself, guys. And, but he doesn't leave us without hope. Our Father in heaven is the one we trust in. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us, even though everyone else does. He's always there. He's ever present. Even through the trials and temptations, he's with us. He never let go of our hand. The last 2 years I've been going through it, like a sabbatical, trying to get back into the work scene, get out of the rehab scene, and it's been a tough 2 years. But you know what? Where I wasn't worth holding hands to, God help me hand. I wasn't worth following, but he followed me. I wasn't worth hugging, but he hugged me. And at times he's the only one hugging me. Because his love is everlasting. You can trust in this. When you're driving down that road and your accusation comes at you and you're keeping records of wrong shouts at you, who do you think you are, you idiot? No, my Father loves me. You know what? If he loves me, I love him. And I don't listen to that anymore. Don't listen to the condemnation. Don't listen to the put downs. I don't listen to the, you know, when we understand unconditional, I'll finish with this. When we understand unconditional love, you have to understand unconditional means unconditional. And when you come into the Christian setting, and when you come into the Christian life, and when you come into scripture, and when you come into a place where people are saying words like unconditional love, bring it into you, love yourself unconditionally, love yourself, it's alien thinking, and alien philosophy to us. Why? Because we've never had the main caregivers in our life being unconditional. There's always conditions. Like I put conditions on my son, because I'm a human. And you look and you judge them. And you go, sometimes in your heart you go, why not? And if not, couldn't you? Why couldn't you? And it's very hard for us to be unconditional. Because we're humans and we're fleshly. But our Father in heaven Listen, guys, get this. Let the penny drop. Let it drop. His love is unconditional. His love is about Jesus hanging on a cross and his sacrifice. There is no conditions. He just loves us. End of story. He keeps no records of wrongs. He's patient. He's kind. He's not bold. He just loves us. And when you make a mistake, he still loves you. Stop putting him into the other one's bracket. Your parents' bracket. Stop doing that. Stop minimizing them and making them little. Stop saying to yourself and having a doubt in your head, oh, we didn't pray for 7 hours last night. I wonder if God still wants to know me. Stop doing that. Being lying. Maybe you did grow up in a house where everything was about how good you are. And maybe you do find the alien to try and say, well, hold on, this faith and this Christianity and all that, these weirdos are going to say that God just loves me, even though I'm not perfect. Yeah, he does. And that's what changes us. Let's stand.